I want to start this morning just with a bit of a disclaimer. Because the danger when it comes to talking about something like this is that the way that it's heard is that we should do all things for our young people, much kind of for the sake of anything else, that it should be so focused on that that we exclude other things. And I want just to make clear that at no point this morning am I suggesting that the church is intergenerational, as it should be. We are welcoming of both young and old. But what I do want to share with you this morning is why youth is singled out as needing a dedicated ministry team. Because some of the things I will share with you hopefully will show why young people are in particular need of a ministry team to look over them and watch over them. However, by the end of this morning, we will be reminded that we are indeed all youth in the sense that we are all God's children. We need to approach our ministry to young people in a holistic way, thinking about the body, the mind, and the spirit, because there are particular needs for young people in each of these areas. Firstly, physical needs. According to a 2017 study, 22.9% of primary one pupils are at risk of being overweight and or obese, and this rises to 26% in areas with a high Scottish index of multiple deprivation score. Children are becoming unhealthily fat in some places. There is a physical need for children there. And the difficulty, particularly for young children, those in primary school, is that children do not have control over their diets. I'm a bit round myself, but I've got nobody to blame but me for that, because I'm a man and I can make decisions about what I put into my body. Children can't. Granted, it becomes easier as they get older because they will have more control over their diets, but we first of all recognize that children have a particular vulnerability when it comes to their physical needs because they are totally reliant on parents to give them what is good for them. And particularly in places where there is multiple deprivation, it is difficult to get healthy food at an affordable price. So there's the first need that we recognize when we are particularly ministering to young people. The second thing to highlight is the mind, the emotional needs. I want to read you something from Christian Today. Magazine. A Church of England bishop has called for social media companies to be regulated to protect children from online abuse and bullying. Speaking to the Daily Telegraph, the Bishop of Gloucester, Rachel Treweek, called for regulations similar to those in Germany, where firms face up to £44 million if they fail to delete harmful posts within a 24-hour period of complaint. The bishop was speaking in light of the death of 14-year-old Molly Russell, who took her own life after viewing pages showing self-harm. Statistically speaking, the leading cause of death for men aged between 5 and 49 is suicide. The leading cause of death for women aged between 5 and 34 is suicide. Statistically speaking, the most likely cause of my death at my current age is suicide. There is a mental health problem in our young people, with our young people. It is exacerbated by social media, and the fact that a bishop of the Church of England stood up and made these statements about companies being targeted who do not take down harmful material is a sign, as far as I'm concerned, that the church has a voice and should use its voice to address these things. The other thing that really disturbed me when I looked this up, the leading cause of death between children aged 1 to 4 is illness or issues that come from birth, but the second leading cause of death amongst female children aged 1 to 4 is murder. That shocked me. But that's the statistic. If you are a young girl aged between 1 and 4, the second most likely cause of your death is because someone else takes your life. That is a horrific thing to realize. But we also recognize then the vulnerability of young people and why we need a youth team, because of this emotional need amongst young people that, and incidentally, it has long been the case that suicide was the leading cause of death amongst men aged between 5 and 34. It is a new development that is now the leading cause of death amongst women aged 5 to 34, which suggests to me that the mental health problems that we perceive in our culture are getting worse, because it is now not just affecting men, it's affecting all genders. And finally, spiritual need. There is a spiritual need amongst our young people. Of those who are classed as Generation Y or Millennials, that's those born between the year 1981 and 2000, between 60 and 70% of those people identify as having no faith. That's a huge number. We sometimes talk in the church about the missing generation. Well, that's the missing generation, because 60 to 70% of those born between 1981 and 2000 identify as having no faith. But it gets worse. Of the 35% who still profess faith, only 9% say that they engage with the Bible on a daily basis. That should shock us in the church, because that says to me we have severely under-discipled what few young people we have if they do not see the value in coming to God on a daily basis and taking even just a couple of minutes to read His Word. The article which quoted all of these statistics was pointing out that the Bible has never been more accessible to young people. I use an app on my phone which gives me access to the Bible in over 1,000 different languages if I so chose to use them. As it happens, I stick to English. But it's all here in my pocket. And I have to say, for me personally, it's been a blessing, because I get daily reminders. I get a wee ping on my phone at 9:30 in the morning, then again at midday. Have you read your Bible today? So why is it that with this ease of access that only 9% of young people are engaging with God's Word on a daily basis? And it's because the church has under-discipled them and has not spent the time and energy instilling in young people the importance of daily Bible reading and prayer. So there are these unique needs with young people. The last thing I want to share with you about why I think we specifically need a youth team, we've got the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, but also we have to realize that young people are always at the cutting edge of what is happening. The research that I have shared with you today refers to Gen Yers or millennials, those born between 1980 and 2000. But we already have a new generation up and coming called Generation Z. And all of the young people that we saw here today, I think I would say they're all Gen Z. They'll all have been born post 2000. We don't have the research for Gen Z children yet, because it's not been done. Because we're still trying to understand the previous generation before we move on to the next. And it will always be the case that children will grow up with things and be affected by things that we cannot anticipate. So those of us who have grown up in the age of the internet and social media, we who are older have been able to adjust to these things and accept them and assimilate them and so on. But young people don't have that same capacity. And I can give you a very good example. When I was growing up, I was born in 1990, and I was not allowed a PlayStation because children should play outside, etc., etc., and that's fine. But eventually, I think I would have been 8 years old when finally I got a PlayStation 1. My brother was born in 1996, so I was 8, but he would have been around 2 or 3. I don't tend to play consoles. I don't tend to play computer games, but he does. I put that down to the fact that he was exposed to the PlayStation much earlier in his life than I was. So while I would use things like painting and working with my hands as a way of relaxing, he will pick up a controller and play a video game. We could not have anticipated that when I was 8 and he was 3, but it's an example of how something that is introduced to an older child's life will have a different impact on a younger child's life. And that's why, although we are beginning to understand millennials, we don't know what the impact of our ever-changing world is going to be on our very youngest, because it will only understand how it's affected them when they've grown up. And by then, it's actually too late to perhaps undo any of the potential damage that has been caused. So this is why we need a specific team focusing on ministering to our young people. Because there are unique physical, emotional, and spiritual needs there. But also, there is the sense that because young people are always up and coming and we don't know how the world is going to impact them or affect them, we need a dedicated group of people that will take the time to reflect and try and understand how the world will impact them. So those are some of the reasons from our world and our culture as to why we need a youth ministry team. But the question that remains is, what can we do? What can we as a church do for young people? Now, the answer to what we can do, we could spend probably the rest of the day and beyond thinking up ideas of what we can do, because there are so many possibilities. And as I was preparing for today, my mind went through a number of permutations for this sermon. I went through the thought process that I've done for every other sermon in this series so far. Do we go to the different bits of the Bible and draw out God's attitude toward young people? Do we look at how God has used young people in the Bible for his good purposes, like David, the boy who defeated the giant Goliath? Do we go to Psalms like Psalm 8, where God talks about, from the mouths of infants I have ordained praise? And every time I tried to go somewhere different, I was drawn back again and again to one simple, straightforward phrase. Let the children come to me. The words of Jesus in our passage this morning. And what we have in that passage, it's perhaps not the ABC of how to engage with young people in terms of their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, but what we have is a principle. A principle that we as a church should take on board, not just for engaging with our young people, but engaging with all people. So here is the story. Jesus is teaching a crowd of people. And some parents bring their children to him so that he can place his hands upon them and bless them. Now, that was not an uncommon thing for rabbis to do. I didn't know that. But in my reading, it turns out that that was not uncommon to ask a respected rabbi to bless your children. The disciples, however, they put up a barrier between the children and Jesus. They rebuke the parents. They say, don't bring your kids to Jesus. Just, no, get lost. And we don't know why. We don't know what their motive was. Again, reading about this, the possibilities range from them being somewhat jealous about the idea that little children would somehow have the privilege of approaching Jesus in the way that only they did. I think that's unlikely. That seems awfully callous. Personally, I go for the idea that essentially the disciples were just trying to protect Jesus' dignity and protect Jesus from being bothered. So it's not that there was any maliciousness or unkindness toward these children. They were just trying to, you know, Jesus is in the middle of doing something really serious right now. Are you going to, you know, bring your kids? But Jesus obviously becomes aware of that, and we read in the passage that he is indignant. Now, that doesn't mean that he was huffy with them. Again, looking at this passage, I don't know ancient Greek, but one of the commentators made it very clear, the strength of the word here. It's not that Jesus was a wee bit, you know, it was a bit like, oh, come on, guys. No, he was borderline furious with the disciples that they would do this. And so he issues them the command, let the children come to me. Let them come, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And those who wish to be part of that kingdom, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. It's an important phrase. I think it says something about the innocence of children and the acceptance of children. I know from having worked with children, yes, you get the smart alecks that will question everything, but they are very much the exception to the rule. Most children, if you tell them something, they'll believe you. They'll accept it without question. Oh, okay. That's how we're to accept Christ and accept the kingdom of God, in that innocent way. When God says, I love you, we aren't to question him. We're to go, oh, okay, cool. When we're told that we are to have faith in Jesus, we're not to question it, we're to go, oh, okay, cool, and accept it. And then we read that Jesus blesses the children. In fact, it's when the Bible starts to get really poetic, he takes them in his arms and blesses them. This isn't, you know, a rabbi reaching out and in a very authoritative way blessing the children. No, this is Jesus wrapping those kids in his arms. Big hug from Jesus. Very different from the disciples who stood in the way of the children and said, don't bring your children to Jesus. And so I think this passage gives us the principle that we are to adopt when ministering to young people, but also when we are ministering to anyone. Let the children come to me. It is our call as a church to enable people to come to Jesus. We are to create opportunities where people feel able to cross the threshold and come and meet with him. But we are also to be the people that take Jesus out into the world and tell people about him and say, do you know you can meet him? There's a verse in a song that we sang at Praise Gathering a couple of years ago. It goes, come to Jesus just as you are, broken and scarred. Come to him, love and mercy for every broken heart. He is waiting with open arms. Come to Jesus just as you are. That is the principle that is being expressed by Jesus this morning. Come to me just as you are. Come and meet with me. But we are warned as well this morning not to build barriers, not to put up fences or build walls or make it harder for people to come to Jesus. You can't meet Jesus unless you do this. You can't know Jesus unless you're like this. No, none of that. And we're very good at building barriers as human beings. We seem to have a knack for it. But Jesus' response is a strong one. Whenever his followers are doing things that he disapproves of or doing things that are so far from what he himself would have done, his response is clear and it is strong. If you are putting barriers in the way of people and me, tear them down. Break them down, remove them, and get rid of them. And if you won't, I will. That's why he was so cross at the disciples for being a barrier between the people that needed him and him himself. Because his invitation is to come. And so we, as his followers today, have that same responsibility to help and enable people to come to Jesus and to be so aware and so careful of any barrier that we might be putting in people's way. And if we are building barriers, we are commanded to tear them down by Christ, because people should be able to come freely to him. The follow-up question, I suppose, to all this would be, well, Stuart, you've talked this morning about the physical needs of young people, the emotional needs of young people, the spiritual needs of young people. How is it that coming to Jesus is going to help with any of it? Okay, we can maybe get how it helps with the spiritual, but what about the problems with physical health? What about these emotional issues that people have? How can coming to Jesus help with any of that? Well, the answer to that, we turn to 1 John. And in chapter 3, he says this: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That wonderful picture is what happens when we come to Jesus. We are made children of God. We meet one who will love us and accept us, warts and all, unquestioned. We are brought into relationship with one who will not highlight all of our faults and failures, who will not tell us that we are the wrong shape, who will not tell us that we are unvaluable. He will love us completely and totally. He will say, "You are my son, you are my daughter, and I love you with an unending love. I will be with you in all things, and there is a future waiting for you where we will be together for all of eternity." So many of the issues that people face in this world are because of broken relationships and people treating each other in bad and terrible ways. Well, we do not get that with God. When we come to him and are adopted as his children, he accepts us unquestioningly. He loves us unconditionally. And that reality is what can help so many people with their physical, emotional, and spiritual concerns. To know that there is one who will always be there for them, who will always love them and value them, who will always and unquestioningly accept them for who they are whenever they come to him. Yes, we know that God will work in a person's life and transform them and conform them to the likeness of Christ, and that is a wonderful journey that people will take. But at no point does God ever say, "I will not accept you until you become more like Christ." He always accepts us as we are, wherever we are on that journey. And so that is why it is so important that we allow people to come to Jesus unhindered, because in coming to him, they can become children of God. And becoming a child of God is something that can help us physically, emotionally, and above all, spiritually. So yes, we need a youth team to find ways to specifically allow young people with all of their unique issues to come to Jesus unhindered. But as with everything that we have looked at in this series, it's actually also something the whole church is responsible for doing, for all people. Everybody is invited to come to Jesus. And so we can see, therefore, why we need a ministry team focusing specifically on young people. There are unique and changing challenges there. We need people to dedicate their time and energy to understanding these things and shaping the response we give as a church. And we must give a response. If we do not, not only do we seal our fate as a congregation, for who will step up to continue once older members are gone, but we also ignore some of the most vulnerable people in our world, and that is not something of which Jesus would approve. Yet we are also this morning given a principle which applies to all people. We are to let people come to Jesus. We are to help them meet him, that he might change their lives, save them from their sin, and make a place for them in the new creation. No extras, no barriers, no laws or rules. Anything which might hinder anyone coming to Jesus should be torn down and discarded. We follow the command of our Master, let the children come to me. Let them come that they might be declared children of God. Amen.